السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى أيضا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah azza wa jal to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Apostle Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. First and foremost, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing me with this beautiful opportunity to be with all of you. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses this gathering and He makes this gathering a gathering where the angels shroud us with their wings, the rahmah, sakina, tranquility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon us, and may He azza wa jal make high mention of us in the seven heavens. Ameen. And in accordance with the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the one who does not thank the people has not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I thank the organizers of this event for coming together and making this event with the help of Allah a reality. May Allah azza wa jal bless them with the very best in this world as well as the hereafter. Ameen. Secondly, my dear brothers in Islam, it is incumbent, it is obligatory upon all of us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and favors that He Azza wa Jal has conferred upon us. If we were to try and enumerate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would fail miserably, as He rightfully states in the noble Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the blessings of Allah, if you were to count, if you were to enumerate the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا تُحْصُوهَا, you will not be able to encompass all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times we take certain blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us very lightly. And beloved Shaykh Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah very beautifully states that he reports from one of our Salafun al-Salih, our pious predecessors, that if you were to try and understand the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, just close your eyes for a few moments. What happens? When you close your eyes for a few moments, everything around you goes pitch black, darkness. That's when you realize the value of the two eyes, the eyesight that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you and I. And then we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is upon us to thank Allah azza wa jal for the numerous bounties and favors. And from these favors is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite wisdom, His hikmah, His divine wisdom, is that He did not create all of time equal. Or for that matter, it is out of His wisdom that He chose certain of His creation over certain of His creation. As He states in the noble Quran, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. That your Lord, He creates what He wills, and He also chooses, gives priority, gives preference to what He wills from His creation. Say for example, if you were to take the Jannats, if you were to take the gardens of Jannah, you have many gardens of Jannah. And from the gardens of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Jannatul Firdaus to be the highest of all gardens. The highest of all gardens. Above which is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he states in the Noble Quran, هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وما بينهما في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش. The throne that he عز وجل ascended upon in a manner that befits his majesty and glory, كما يليق بشأنه وجلاله. If you were to take the angels, the malaika, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of them, and then Allah azza wa jal gave preference, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Jibreel, Allah azza wa jal chose Mikael, Allah azza wa jal chose Israfil alayhi salatu wa salam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam was given the responsibility of wahi. He was given the responsibility of wahi, to bring down wahi to the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Mikael alayhi salatu wassalam was given the responsibility of the rains and provisions. Israfil, on the other hand, alayhi salatu wassalam, was given the responsibility of blowing the trumpet. And according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he has already placed the trumpet on his lips, and he is waiting for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to blow the trumpet, which indicates how close we are to the day of Qiyamah, the proximity, how close we are to the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. If you were to take the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in general, mankind, the children of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah azza wa jal created all of them and then chose the prophets alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah Azza wa Jal chose, gave priority, gave preference to the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. And from the Prophets, from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Azza wa Jal gave priority, gave preference to the Rusul alayhi salatu wasalam, to the messengers. As you all know, I think you are aware of the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul. A Nabi and a Rasul. Can someone give me an example of a Nabi and a Rasul living at the same time? Jazakumullah khair. Musa and Harun alayhi salatu wassalam. Musa and Harun. So who was the Rasul? Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Was Harun alayhi salatu wassalam was the Nabi. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam was given the testament. He was given the testament. He was given the divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was a Rasul. As for the Nabi follows the earlier Rasul. So Harun alayhi salatu wassalam, he was following the revelation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyway, from the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Rusul alayhi salatu wasalam. And from the Rusul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave priority, gave preference to the Ulul Azm. Five of them alayhi salatu wasalam. Can someone name them? Start off with the first one, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Please don't forget salawat whenever I mention his beautiful name. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Ulul Azm. And from the Ulul Azm, Allah Azza wa Jal chose two friends, Khalilain. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Two of his friends. And from the two friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to be the best of all prophets, the best of creation. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Look at the umam, look at the nations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created so many nations. Alhamdulillah.
Let's put it like this, is it?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the nations, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave priority, gave preference to the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is none other than us, Allahu Akbar. And then if you were to take other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say for example the months, and this is the point that I wish to highlight. Allah Azza wa Jal did not create all of the months equal. Ramadan is the best of all months. Allahu Akbar. Ramadan is the best of all months. If you were to take the days of the week, which is the best day? خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. According to the words of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the best of days upon which the sun has risen is Friday. فيه خلق آدم وفيه أدخل الجنة وفيه أخرج منها. It was on a Friday that our father, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, was created. It was on a Friday that he was entered into Jannah. And it was on a Friday that he was taken out of Jannah. So coming back to the months, the best of all months, the month of Ramadan. My dear brothers in Islam, and this month, this noble month, is just around the corner. It's just around the corner. So the question that we need to ask ourselves, are we ready to welcome this noble month of Ramadan? Are we ready? Have we prepared ourselves physically, spiritually, and mentally to welcome this noble month of Ramadan? To make the best out of the month of Ramadan? As-salafun as-salih, rahimahumullah. They used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, bless us all to attain the month of Ramadan. To attain the month of Ramadan. They used to make so much of dua to attain the month of Ramadan, so that they could make the best out of the month of Ramadan. It is such a noble, such a virtuous month. It is like a season. You know seasons? I mean, you have a sale, for example, a seasonal sale, where everybody rushes to make the best out of that sale. So likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a season. What's the season for? To do as many good deeds as possible. This is the time that you need to plant, and then in the akhirah, you will harvest, insha'Allah ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, and the hadith goes along the lines of these words, Atakum shahru Ramadan. The month of Ramadan has come to you. Shahrun Mubarak. It is a blessed month. Faradallahu alaykum siyama. And Allah Azza wa Jal has made obligatory fasting in it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. O you who have brought in iman, fasting has been prescribed upon you all. Coming back to the hadith, tuftahu fihi abwabul jannah. In that blessed month, the doors of Jannah will be wide open. Wa tughlaq fihi abwabul jahim. And the doors of Jahannam will be slammed shut. Wa tughallu fihi maradatu shayateen. And the devils will be shackled during that month. They will be chained up during that month. Fihi layla. In that month there is a night. خَيْرُ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرِ. It is better than 1,000 months. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all to attain this night. Ameen. مَنْ حُرِمَ خَيْرَهَا. As for the individual who is deprived of the good of the night or of the month of Ramadan, فَقَدْ حُرِمْ. The individual who is deprived of the goodness of that night, he is an individual who is utterly deprived. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. He is an individual who is utterly deprived. Allahu Akbar. So from this narration, we understand the noble virtues of this month of Ramadan. So we need to prepare ourselves to make the best out of the coming month of Ramadan. So inshallah ta'ala, I have 3 pieces of advice to share with you all, very swiftly. Number one is in regard to our intention. Are we truly looking forward to the month of Ramadan? Or do we feel, oh, why is the month of Ramadan? After all, it's in summer. I don't get to sleep. I've got to go to work. It's going to be a long day. Why couldn't it be in some other season, perhaps? Are we dreading the thought of Ramadan? Or sincerely, are we looking forward to the month of Ramadan? Are we looking forward to this season? Are we looking forward to making the best out of it? It boils down to our intention. Because after all, our deen is an intention-based deen. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Umar radiallahu anhu narrates the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. That actions are but by your intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. And every individual shall get what he intends. Shall get what he intends. When you look at the shuruhat of this hadith, the explanations of this hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ. Actions in its entirety. In other words, your verbal statements, your actions, your physical actions, and even the beliefs in your heart, they are all governed by your intentions. Allahu Akbar. And when you look at actions, you have certain actions that are categorized as ibadah. As ibadah. Like say for example, Salatul Asr that we just prayed. If we intended that I'm doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't verbalize it, the intention is supposed to be placed in the heart. You intend that you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have done it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, how about eating dinner? Or eating lunch? Is that considered an ibadah? It is not. It is a daily task, a routine, a part of our routine. So, do you think you can make that, in a way, an act where you can earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or earn good deeds? Yes, you can, through your intention. Say, for example, if you intend, Ya Allah, I'm eating this food to gain strength to worship you. I'm eating this halal, pure food to gain strength to worship you. Insha'Allah ta'ala, you will be rewarded for that because of your intention. Say, for example, the quality time that you spend with your wife, with your children. If you're intending it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, you will be rewarded for it. But on the other hand, say, if you didn't have any intention, if you didn't have any intention, you were just spending some time with your wife. You may be rewarded, you may not be rewarded, depending on your intention. But if you have the intention that you're doing it to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, no doubt you will be rewarded, insha'Allah ta'ala. So my dear brothers in Islam, it is of utmost importance that we rectify our intentions. We keep gauging and rectifying our intentions that I am looking forward to the month of Ramadan to make the best out of the coming month of Ramadan. So this is number one in regard to your intentions. Number two is that we need to manage our time well. We need to start planning right now to manage our time well during the month of Ramadan. Because every single second in the month of Ramadan is extremely valuable. And when we look at time in general, it is such a valuable commodity that an intelligent slave of Allah, an intelligent believer, understands the value that every single second of his, he needs to make the best out of it, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jalla highlights the importance of time by swearing upon it in so many places. Wal asr, wal fajr, wal duha, wal layli idha yaghsha, wal nahari idha tajalla. By the daybreak, by the forenoon, by the time, by the night, as it envelops, by the day. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising upon different periods of time to highlight the importance of time. And especially when you look at it in the month of Ramadan, we need to make the best out of it. So we need to plan our day properly, where we spend time with the Quran, with the words of our Maker, Allah Azza wa Jal. We spend time in Taraweeh, we spend time in Siyam, in fasting, we spend time in Qiyam, in praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We divide our day in such a way that it becomes an extremely productive day in terms of earning as many good deeds as possible, inshallah ta'ala. So we need to plan our day well. Because this component, this commodity of time, shaitan tries his level best to steal this from us. This was something I spoke about yesterday, but let me swiftly mention it. Shaitan is our sworn enemy. And he, can someone tell me who is the oldest individual living on the face of this earth? Shaitan. Not Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Our father, he passed away. And Shaitan was existing even before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, wasn't he? He was there before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And he is still living. Why? Because he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yuba'athun. Give me respite, give me time until the day of Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him that time. So obviously he is going to die. He is not going to live forever. He is going to die, but he is still present. So from this, what do we understand? That he is an extremely experienced individual. Why? Because he has seen so many generations of mankind. He is a cunning, sly, artful enemy who is very patient, who knows, he studies you. He studies you, Allahu Akbar. He studies you and he throws traps according to different individuals. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, يَجْرِي فِي مَجْرَ الدَّمْ. He runs in your blood. So what does he do running in your blood? He studies you. He studies your weak points. He studies what you like. And then he makes traps accordingly. So what does the intelligent slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? The intelligent slave of Allah azza wa jal studies about his enemy, studies about the traps of his enemy, and moves away from those traps. This is what an intelligent slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions in his book Bada'iul Fawaid that in regard to the traps of shaitan, according to him, he categorizes the traps of shaitan as six in number. Six in number, traps of shaitan. Number one is that he'll try to push you into kufr or shirk. I'm not going into much detail, I'll swiftly move through the traps. Kufr or shirk. Kufr is to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirk is to associate partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we talk about shirk, there are many categories of shirk. You have shirk al-akbar, shirk al-asghar, shirk fil rububiyyah, shirk fil uluhiyyah, shirk fil asma wa sifat. You have so many types of shirk. One is you associate a partner unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say for example, you worship an idol with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is shirk. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive what? Shirk. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَىٰ. Other than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive what He wills. So shirk is a great sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. One is to shirk fi rububiyyah, is to associate a partner directly unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirk fi uluhiyyah is to say an act of worship that you are supposed to render unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you render it unto some other object or some other individual. Like say for example, the ones who worship graves, they are committing shirk. Because worship, ibadah, sajda is for Allah alone. You can't worship sticks, stones, graves, you can't do that. It's shirk. Or to claim divinity, like what Fir'aun did, فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. Shirk. And even to believe in such a statement, shirk, because you have associated a partner unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you have shirk fil asma wa sifat, in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows about the unseen world in its entirety. If someone were to say that so and so wali, so and so awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows matters of the unseen world. Shirk. Why? Let alone a wali from the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did not know the unseen world in its entirety. He did not. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows. But other than that, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. That the keys of the unseen world are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None knows about it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except Allah azza wa jal. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. No soul knows what that soul is going to earn tomorrow. No soul knows where that soul is going to die. All of this is hidden in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if someone were to claim that so and so individual knows the future, so-and-so fortune teller knows the future. Or if you were to believe in a fortune teller, if you were to believe in a soothsayer, if you were to believe in a magician, you have committed shirk. Shirk fil asma'i wa sifat. Attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These attributes belong solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So trap number one, he'll try to push you into shirk or kufr. If he fails to do so, if he finds it difficult, perhaps you're strong, your iman is strong, mashallah. Then what he'll do is, trap number two, he'll try to push you into bid'ah, into innovations. See, bid'ah is a very sticky trap. Shaitan is cunning. Many a time he'll make an individual fall into the trap of bid'ah in a way that that individual thinks that, you know what, I'm doing this out of the love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm doing this to prove my love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm doing this to prove my love for Islam. I'm doing this to prove my love for Allah azza wa jal. But in reality, he does not understand that he is doing, committing an innovation. وَكُلَّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ According to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every innovation is a misguidance. Every misguidance is in the blazing fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. If he fails to push you into the trap of innovations, then he moves on to the third trap. Kaba'ir. Major sins. He'll try to push you into major sins. What are the major sins? Like zina, fornication, adultery, murder, aklur riba, eating of interest, consuming intoxicants, shurbul khamr. These are all major sins. Scholars, rahimahumullah, have gone on to list the major sins, almost 70 to 100 in number. He'll try to push you into one of the major sins. And if he fails to push you into the major sins, he'll move on to trap number 4. He'll try to push you into the pit of minor sins. Saghair, minor sins. Why? Because if you are consistent in a minor sin, that is equivalent to a major sin. What are the minor sins? Like gossiping, backbiting, jealousy, harboring jealousy. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُونَ Would you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? فَكَرِهْتُمُونَ You will dislike it. At times we take pleasure in sitting around and talking bad about others. Talking bad about others because we're jealous of that individual. We want to talk bad about him. Backbite that individual. But in reality, we are eating the flesh of that individual according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and according to the words of our Maker in the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. So he'll try to push you into these two, kaba'ir or saghair, fourth trap. And this is where taqwa comes in. And this is how important taqwa is. Taqwa should govern our lives. It should permeate into every aspect of our lives, taqwa. It should control our lives. And taqwa is the purpose, is the goal behind us fasting. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ For what purpose? O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, and upon just as how it was prescribed upon the nations before you, for what purpose? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that you may attain taqwa. So that you may become people of taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all people of taqwa. Ameen. Taqwa will make an individual move away from these major sins and minor sins. Allahu Akbar. Once an individual goes to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and asks him, Ya Abu Huraira, define taqwa for me. Define taqwa for me. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asked that individual, have you ever walked down a thorny path? A thorny path, you know, full of brambles and thorns. The man said, yes, I have. Why? Then he went on to ask him, so what did you do whilst you were walking down this thorny path? He said, I gathered my clothes together and I made my way carefully down the path. I gathered my clothes together and I made my way carefully down the path. Why? Because I did not want to snag my clothes onto the thorns and the brambles. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu went on to say, that is taqwa. Now let us interpret that analogy, the example. The path is the life, this short and transitory life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us all with. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا It is He who created death and life. For what purpose? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا To test you all, in other words, to test which one of you is best in deeds. This short and transitory life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us all with, a life that we need to live like strangers. Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib. According to the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, be in this world, be in this life, as if you are a stranger or a passerby or a traveler. Aw abir sabil. That's the path. And as you are making your way down the path, what's your destination? Where is your destination? Wimbledon, is it? Al-Akhirah. Your destination is Al-Akhirah. And what are the thorns? What are the brambles? Al-Muharramat. The prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Muharramat. Why do you have to move away from the Muharramat? Because the devil uses those Muharramat to snag you, to make you stumble and fall in the path. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Don't even think of getting close to zina. Allah Azza wa Jal did not directly say, وَلَا تَزِنُوا, do not commit adultery. Instead, don't even think of getting close to adultery. Don't even think of getting close to adultery. In other words, the avenues that even the avenues that reach, that result in zina, stay away from those avenues. Say for example, if you think that if I go for this particular meeting, for this particular event, it might result in me falling into the pit of zina, then you're supposed to stay away from that event. If say you are an individual who fears that if I am on social media, look, social media can be used for many good purposes, but if you think that I am an individual, that if I'm going to be on social media, I'm susceptible to the fact that I might fall into the pit of zina, that, you know, all kinds of friend requests can come in, all kinds of messages are going to come in, and I won't be able to control myself, then you being on social media is not advisable. Is not advisable. The avenues to zina, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. Don't even think of getting close to zina. The muharramat, don't even think of getting close to the muharramat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَا وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مَلِكٍ حِمَى أَلَا وَإِنَّ حِمَى اللَّهِ مَحَارِمٌ. Every king has a sanctuary according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is a sanctuary? You have something valuable here, you put a sanctuary around that. A fence. Like you have the queen's palace here. She's in the middle. What has she got around her? A huge fortress, you've got guards standing. Why? Because according to them, the queen is valuable, right? This is something valuable. So that's why you put a sanctuary. Every king has a sanctuary. Every king. Can you just think of waltzing into the queen's palace? Just like that? You can't. Because there's a sanctuary. أَلَّا وَإِنَّ حِمَ اللَّهِ مَحَارِمُ. The sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are His prohibitions. So if you fear or think twice or thrice to waltz into the queen's palace, then what about the sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What about the sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So taqwa is something that will control us, will control every single limb of us to stay away from the muharramat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do as many good deeds to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming back to the traps of shaitan, fourth trap, he'll try to push you into saghair. If he fails to do that, fifth trap, this is the point that I wish to highlight in regard to time management, he will keep you busy in permissible things. Permissible things. Things that if you indulge in, you will neither be rewarded nor will you be considered a sinner. You won't be rewarded. Nor will you be considered a sinner. Say for example, recreational activities. Permissible or not? As long as it is within the guidelines of Sharia. Permissible, yeah? Permissible. But what if you were to make your whole life a recreational activity? Then what will you be known as? You'll be known as a playboy. If your whole life becomes a recreational activity, you've got no focus. You've got no vision. You can't make your whole life a recreational activity. But shaitan, if he fails to push you into the trap of saghair, minor sins, he will try to make you busy, make you while away your time, the valuable time that you have, in permissible things. And say if he finds it difficult to do that, he moves on to the final trap, the sixth trap, according to Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. He'll keep you busy in good deeds. In good deeds, but what type of good deeds? Good deeds with lesser rewards. In other words, you have the potential to do greater deeds, but he'll keep you busy with smaller deeds. Now you might wonder, shaitan will never call me towards good deeds. This is not shaitan. This is not shaitan. But like I said, shaitan, my dear brother, is a cunning individual, is an artful individual. He studies you, he knows oh, this individual has the potential to bring about a huge change perhaps in the society, in the community. I must keep him busy with little things so that he does not understand or realize his true potential and starts to work towards it. He'll keep you busy with small deeds. This is the type of an enemy that you and I were dealing with, my dear brothers in Islam. So we need to study about this enemy. We need to study about him, and we must take care not to be deceived by him. Ya ayyuhan nasu inna wa'dallahi haqq fala taghurrannakumul hayatud dunya wala yaghurrannakum billahil gharur in الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوه عدوا إنما يدعو حزبه ليكونوا من أصحاب السعير يا أيها الناس أو mankind إن وعد الله حق indeed the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا Do not let this worldly life deceive you. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ And do not let the deceiver, i.e. the devil, do not let the deceiver deceive you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ Who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the devil, indeed, shaytan is your enemy. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا Who is more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is informing us, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا Take him as your enemy. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ He only invites his party, his clique, his group to be of the people of the fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So we need to study about this enemy of ours and move away from his traps. Finally, I leave you all with the final piece of advice from the three pieces of advices. That was the firm intention. Number two, time management. And number three is to prepare ourselves mentally, physically, and spiritually to welcome this month of Ramadan. So how do we do this? We start off by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what do I mean by turning to? What do I mean when I say to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean tawbah. We need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tawbah is not something that we need to wait for the 27th night or the 21st night of Ramadan to do it. It's not something even reserved for the month of Ramadan. It is something that has to be integrated into a believer's day-to-day life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Look at who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, Oh you criminals, oh you sinners, oh the ones who have transgressed themselves, oh the ones who have transgressed the limits of Allah. No. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Ya ayyuhal ladhina aslamu? No. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Oh you the people of iman, oh you mu'minun. Ya ahlal iman. Tubu ila Allah. Now you might wonder, why do the mu'minun have to turn to Allah in tawbah? And the mu'minun on a higher daraja than the muslimun? They're just before the muhsinun. Why do they have to make tawbah? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, tubu ila Allah. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. What type of a tawbah? Tawbatan nasuha. A perfect and complete tawbah. A perfect and a complete tawbah. In regard to this word nasuha, scholars rahimahumullah explain that it should be a tawbah. It should be a tawbah. Just as how, in the sense, you must intend so firmly coming out of your sins. And you must intend never to go back to it, just as how milk, when it comes out of the udders of the animal, Just as how it cannot go back. Can the milk go back into the udders of the animal? It cannot. Just as how the milk cannot go back, you must not go back to those sins. You must intend a tawbah of that nature. Tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a sincere and complete tawbah. And this is how we prepare ourselves spiritually and mentally. As for physically, let us start cutting down on the food. Because if you were to suddenly, I mean, in other words, if Ramadan were to suddenly dawn upon us, and if you were to try to fast, suddenly, all of a sudden, except for the illa marahimallah, the brothers who fast on a continuous basis, you might find it a little difficult, I mean, adapting to it. But instead, if you start now and start cutting down on your food, and anyway, in general, it's good. Because according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the worst of vessels to be filled is your stomach. Is your stomach. Along the lines of these words, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of eating? He would divide his stomach into three portions. One third for solids, one third for liquids, and one third for air. But we, mashallah, all three portions are full and we can't even breathe. Let us follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is how we prove our love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like I said earlier, with that I wrap off inshallah ta'ala, talking about bid'ah. Shaitan makes us think that we are doing the bid'ah in the name of Allah or in the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in reality, if we want to prove the pure love that we have for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we should do that by following him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, tell the sahaba, tell your ummah. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. If you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Then follow me. And what will you get in return? يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And he will forgive you of your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. So with that I conclude. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins, to accept our good deeds, to bless us all to attain the noble month of Ramadan, and may He help us to make the best out of the coming month of Ramadan. And just as how He united us here, may He grant us more opportunities to unite in the future, insha'Allah ta'ala. And may He, just as how He united us here in this beautiful masjid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wayan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakum Allah.